Hey, welcome to the Fantasy Fight Night Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host, Andy Heidemann.
And I am your other host, Adam Kurt. And we have to be in separate rooms because otherwise it'd be a fight night every night.
It's actually true. We would physically come to blows.
Alterations.
This is our very first show. So let's introduce the people here. I'm Andy Heidemann. I am a amateur fantasy analyst, as you would say. I write for b3tsports.com. I have another podcast called Bet Bath & Beyond, where we talk about DFS and sports betting as a whole. But fantasy football is really where my heart lies. What do you got to tell the people, Adam?
I am also an aspiring fantasy football analyst. My brothers and I have been doing a show for a couple of years, KKFFP4. I am the Leonardo of the group. That's all you need to know. I've attempted.
I love how your Twitter says Leo, and then it also specifically says Leo is my turtle, not my sign, and it makes me laugh every time.
Yeah, I was looking through. I'm new to Twitter. I am, and I went through and started looking through a couple people, and there was a specific fantasy analyst that was a female that said something. That said, Virgo is my sign. You know, people like father, all this stuff. And I went, well, Leo is my sign, would be my sign. And then it just like clicked. And I was like, oh, that's such a brilliant line. And no one's going to care because I'm not going to get deep enough into Twitter. So the fact that it gets a shout out, I appreciate that.
Well, why don't you tell the folks, you can follow me at Twitter at Andy Heidemann, and you can follow Adam at, what is it? Adam Sky Fantasy.
Yeah, it's Adimski.
Adimski.
I will preface this. My uncles convinced me I was adopted from Russia.
I really hope that was a while ago.
Yes, it was. It was. It was a long time ago. But instead of being something that I dreaded bringing up, it became kind of my gamer tag. So.
Sure. All right, so we're going to start every show. Obviously, we're going to introduce ourselves. We're going to plug our other stuff because, you know, it's important. You should go watch it. It's very, very good content. However, we're also going to start it with a fantasy fact of the week. Do you have yours on deck or do you want me to go first?
You can go first.
All right, so this one is kind of funny. Marcus Mariota averaged more points per game last year in fantasy football than Patrick Mahomes. And Dak Prescott averaged more than both of them. All right. So let that sink in. Mariota averaged more points per game than Patrick Mahomes. And Dak Prescott averaged more than Patrick Mahomes or Marcus Mariota. Now, this is really funny because the biggest, most important part of this whole fact is that you can draft a quarterback late and you can stream quarterbacks all year round. There are guys who are going to finish as not only a top 12 guy, but as a top 5 guy randomly throughout the year. Like, it's so crazy important to know that you do not have to go and draft Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes. You don't have to reach for these guys in your drafts.
That is a very good point. My set of the week relates to the Saints backfield, and the highest average per attempt per game between Devontae Freeman and Latavius Murray is a horrid 2.6.
Really?
Horrid. Yep. They had 1.1, 1.0, 1.5, and 2.6 out of two players, four games. So four. There's this other guy, Tony Jones Jr., who had 4.8 in one. That's sort of modest. And then I don't have the average in front of me on this one. I gotta do some quick math. Can't press the correct buttons. 11.7. So wow. One of these things is not like the other. Tony Jones Jr. is going to be the running back two in this offense. He's somebody
in an offense that doesn't have any weapons aside from Alvin Kamara.
Don't you say that about Callaway or Troutman. Tony Jones is going to be a true value. Everyone, you know, people take the 11th or 12th round pick on Latavius Murray. Go get Tony Jones Jr. with the last pick of your draft.
Latavius Murray might not even make the roster.
Yeah, he's $3 million due on a team that has done some wizardry to make it under the cap this year because they're still paying Drew Brees a butt ton of money to the point where they gave Taysom Hill a four-year, $140 million contract just to clear cap space down the line. So
Well, speaking of running backs, this is going to lead into our, you know, we're going to talk some news and notes. This is our first show, so it's not like we have anything to lead into or from previous episodes. But most important things that have happened so far, I think, in the off season, leading up into this next NFL season are the J.K. Dobbins injury, the Etienne injury, and then obviously the Akers injury with the Achilles tear. All running backs, all very bright future running backs. I mean, all very high draft capital running backs. I mean, what do you take for this? Like, what do you decide this does to these handcuffs, right?
Well, I think it tells you two things. One, running backs are going to get hurt. Last year, we lost CMC. We lost Barkley. Who else am I missing? We lost a couple guys pretty
Chubb
early.
Chubb went down for a little while.
Running backs are going to get hurt. Even the young studs. It happens.
Eckler.
Yep. Eckler. Yep. That was the other one that I was forgetting. You're going to lose guys. It's very important to get key contributors and to get some depth to that. So players like Daryl Henderson and Sony Michel, both those guys are worth rostering. Now, we'll see how it plays out. Personally, I'm a lot higher on Michel than most people are. But Daryl Henderson will see more of the pass catching work. So if it's PPR, I think he fits more into that. I think Sony's going to not get as many touches, but he's going to be the goal line guy. James Robinson, he was a stud last year. Don't draft him as that. He cannot possibly replicate that workload.
But his current ADP is not criminal. I mean, if you're able to get him, it's creeping because obviously the injury is going to do that to that.
He's middle of the fourth right now.
Middle of the fourth. I here's the thing with me. It's volume is king, and I know that Chenault is going to eat into those targets. I'm just they designed that offense with Travis Etienne in mind. They were going to throw a lot to the running back anyway. I think that James Robinson can catch, and I think that it's just a common outlet to young rookie quarterbacks. I think that it won't be as bad as people think. I like him as a talent. I think he's a talented running back. I want nothing but the best for him. Yeah, middle of the fourth might be reaching a bit, but if you happen to get him to fall in the fifth, I like that.
Yeah, and you say you did something where you went Travis Kelce or grab one of the elite tight ends before that, and you're willing to wait, you know, get a little bit more depth on that running back position. That's the time to target that. But if you grab two elite running backs, don't overpay for that for him.
Right.
That third one. And then, you know, we talked about Cam Akers, this Sony Henderson split. And then Gus Edwards. You know, he becomes the de facto one, but it's never been the de facto one.
They haven't signed anyone else. I mean, like, I fully expect that he will take a large portion of, you know, his carries. But we can't ignore the fact that Lamar is going to get running back like carries because he always does. So, I mean, that people need to factor that in. I wouldn't go looking at Gus and going, he's going to get 300 carries. It's not what he That's not what he's going to get, you know.
But he's going to get maybe 180 this year as, like, the peak. But at 5.5 a carry, basically, because that offense is uber efficient, he's a guy that, you know, if he stays in that 7th round range, I'm smashing that every time. He gets up into the 6th. You get into that running back dead zone. You have some fears with that, and he won't catch the ball. That's the biggest. No. That's the biggest
separator
between.
And they won't throw the ball to him that way either.
No. That's the biggest separator on those guys.
So obviously, keep an eye on that. And again, we're waiting to see. Like we had talked about at the beginning of the show, Latavius Murray might not make the roster for the Saints. That does not mean that he won't get picked up by the Ravens. I mean, all these bubble guys who are going to get dropped by their orgs and cut to make the, you know, to make their 53-man rosters. We still have to see how those are going to get signed out, you know.
Yeah.
And another piece of news. Oh, sorry. What was that?
Yeah, I was just going to say very few teams are going to pay what they paid for Sony Michel to get another running back. I mean, Gardner Minshew got a sixth round pick and quarterback's the most
important position. Gardner Minshew was done dirty.
He was awful this preseason. CJ Beathard.
He wasn't
better than him.
Don't get me wrong, but I just don't understand how lots of places, lots of fantasy outlets are talking about this. I don't know how you are Urban Meyer and you say we're having a QB contest all year, like, and you don't let Trevor Lawrence take all the reps possible to make sure that he is ready. And then at the very end of the preseason, you're like, yeah, well, Lawrence is starting. Because we all knew Lawrence was starting. Everybody knows that. And then they trade him for basically peanuts.
Yeah. And I don't know that Urban, Urban Meyer, you know, rebuilding team, a big red flag is you send a first round. Now, Travis, however you want to say his last name, because it's changing with every analyst.
It's
called Travis. Travis, the running back. He should not have been picked in the first round by a team that literally has a running back position filled. Now,
Travis is a weapon,
but it's telling that he was heartbroken over not being able to get Kadarius Toney.
Yes.
Like,
that says a lot.
He needed offensive line help. There were guys there. There were things he could have done. There's a lot of red flags with, aside from you could not mess up the first pick, and that was basically it. That's why he took the job. But I don't think he lasts.
Okay, so we're going to move into this is the meat of the show. This is going to be a mock draft. I think it's a really nice way to ease into it, get people to understand where you can draft people, where you should reach. We'll explain each one of our picks. We'll go through our teams. Everyone else is set to auto pick. It's a 12-team, half-point PPR. It's standard, like, single QB, two running back, two wide receiver, one tight end, one flex, kicker defense. Looks like Adam's going to be picking from the 7, and I am going to be picking from the 3. Do you have anything you want to add to that before we get started?
I'm just getting in. I've had a crazy schedule, so I'm just getting in some extra practice from Ali. Getting in the 7th, so that's what I'm shamelessly doing that. So I hope that my league mates, Andy being one of them, doesn't pay attention to this too much. But
I gotcha. We have an hour per pick, so we'll kind of go over this as it is as it's going here. First off the board is Christian McCaffrey. Dalvin Cook is obviously going to be second off the board. So I am on the clock here. For me, even in half-point BPR, Derrick Henry is typically going at the 3. For me, I am going to go with Alvin Kamara. I like his ability to catch. I don't think Derrick Henry is a bad pick there at all, but I just think Kamara's a stud. And Derrick Henry, traditionally, is older. And the odds of him slowing down before Kamara slows down are just higher, in my opinion. I'm not calling for Derrick Henry's fantasy irrelevance to be, brought up. I'm just saying that it's more likely.
Yeah, and then Derrick Henry went, Ezekiel Elliott went, Aaron Jones went. And this is where it gets uncomfortable for me. Yeah, this is my worst-case scenario. In all reality, I was hoping that somebody would, Jonathan Taylor with the offensive line and people getting COVID and losing a left tackle and losing another left tackle. It's kind of gross. My two people that I have circled here are Jonathan Taylor or Travis Kelce. And it may
you really, going, you, holy you would take Kelce at 7.
Yeah, it feels dirty. It feels absolutely dirty.
And these mocks are also kind of to experiment, kind of see what you get, because that's the whole point of a mock. Is not something you do to go, this is what I want to do for my team every single time. This is to see where things fall. You want to experiment. So
yeah, and I have a queue up over here. I'm just not putting it out for everyone to to see. I'm gonna go with the Travis Kelce route. I don't typically go here because one of those 6 guys has generally fallen to me when I've mocked. I think I've mocked 10 times, and they've fallen. This is the first time I've taken Kelce.
Now I do want to kind of discuss it, just because obviously in the first 7 picks, Saquon Barkley was not picked. He did go right after at the 8. Are you scared of Saquon Barkley this year?
I'm not scared of him this year. I'm scared of the Giants' offense. Let's make that clear. They look pitiful. Andrew Thompson is abysmal. He would. I don't know that he would start on the Bears' offensive line right now, and that is that is the lowest shot I can take it at anybody within this. And in a half point PPR, you have the guys like Chubb and Taylor. They're more of pure rushers. I would rather take the Kelce has had like 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns and almost 100 catches 4 years in a row. He's the most consistent fantasy player across several years. I'm just going to take that, have the positional advantage, and go with it. So then we have Barkley, Chubb, Taylor go, gets in the wide receivers. You have Taysom, not Taysom, gosh, I was talking about the Saints earlier. Tyreek Hill, DeAndre Hopkins, Stephon Diggs, Austin Eckler, who I was really hoping would come back to me. Devontae Adams.
Have you seen him come back that far in 12-team?
Yes, I have.
You have? Okay.
Yeah. And
I see him go fairly early typically in a lot of my mocks, but I mean, like, it's just.
Yeah, and, you know, going through this, there's a guy that I was hoping would make it back to me, and I'm okay with smashing that. I actually have him right behind Saquon Barkley, and that is Najee Harris. And the reason that I'm taking him there, yes, it's a rookie. Yes, their offensive line is not great. He is going to be touching 300 touches, and he's not a Josh Jacobs 300 touches. I mean, you watch him take basically a little, corner route out of the backfield and took it for 46 yards. I mean, he has elite pass-catching ability, is a much bigger guy, and I think that that team is just better, and Najee Harris is just better.
You know, and earlier when we were talking about Eckler, I didn't mean to cut you off, but after Eckler was Devontae Adams, Patrick Mahomes, DK Metcalf. Like you mentioned, Najee Harris. Again, the volume for Harris alone, to me, the Steelers' offensive line and the way they run the football has been declining ever since they got rid of their offensive line coach. I don't think anyone else would argue with that. It is a little scary, but the Steelers with Tomlin are always going to be at least a good team. Maybe not always great, but they will be a good team. I don't think you can really go wrong with Harris. Now, is it scary to you as him being your RB1?
No. I think we've seen year after year rookies proving themselves as being able to finish. And while it may be a little bit painful, he gets to I think they actually have a pretty good stretch down the end of the year. I'm comfortable. I went after the volume there, the guaranteed volume in both. There's not a pass catching back that's going to challenge him there, which is why I went with him to pair with Travis Kelce as opposed to. I love actually Antonio Gibson as a player more, but just JD McKissick's usage this preseason had just caps a little bit of what, you know, Gibson. I was hoping for the PPR. Therefore, I'll take the Harris pick to add to that.
Speaking of Gibson, he goes after Harris at 2-7, and then Ridley, Mixon, and now I am on the clock again. There are only two running backs here that I would be willing to take in the second round. Mm-hmm. It would be Clyde or David Montgomery. I really, really like going running back first typically, just because there's so much value at wide receiver later in drafts most of the time. But I'm also at the 3. So if I go running back here and then go wide receiver at 3-3, I'm not going to get to pick my wide receiver 2 for a long time. So I'm trying to decide here if this is going to be the draft where I take a hero running back like Kamara and then kind of punt the position down the road. And I think I might actually try. I'm going to try that. I'm going to try just the single phenomenal running back, and I'm going to take Justin Jefferson here at 2-10. Next is Clyde, Keenan Allen, George Kittle, Terry McLaurin, and I am on the clock again. And I am very, very happy to be on the clock again. My guy came back to me. I am going to take Allen Robinson.
Yeah, I 150 targets. Better quarterback play.
You can't beat it.
And except for when this happens, you can beat it because you take Travis Kelce. You hope you can still get two of those guys that you want. You mentioned him. I'm a huge Bears fan. I'm going to him in Montgomery. I mean, to be able to snag him there, he's basically the last of the. You saw Jacobs go, you saw Carson go, I would have taken Monty yep. over both of them. And so with those tight ends going, it actually allowed me to get some positional value. I'll go after Monty all day long. So he went, Jacobs, Chris Carson, Darren Waller. Then I took Montgomery. AJ Brown went, DeAndre Swift, Mike Evans, CeeDee Lamb, Kyler Murray, Chris Godwin, Miles Sanders, Josh Allen, Julio Jones, Darrell Henderson. Wow. Wow.
You know, okay, a couple of things here. A lot just happened. But, like, A.J. Brown, I want to ask, are you nervous about his knees at all?
No. No, his okay. knees were terrible last year, and he was
That's
electric.
True.
Like.
Next, Kyler going at 312. We've been seeing Pat Mahomes go at 2-4. Kyler Murray at 312 is kind of high for me. I mean,
same with Josh Allen at the 4-3. Yeah. Quarterbacks drafted this early, rarely, less than 10%
they
of the time.
They very rarely exceed their ADP.
Yeah, they return. They very rarely return their value. Now, that doesn't say that they're not going to produce exceptionally, but they very rarely return the value. So you go hunting right. for value elsewhere. And going through and hunting for value elsewhere, let's see who's all on my list here. Now I end up
12 over there with three wide receivers and Kyler.
Yeah.
Murray.
Oof. Wow. Boy, this gets a little dicey. So I probably want to go. Yeah, I want to go. Wide receiver here. There are three guys that I would take here. And there are two other guys that I would hope fall back to me in the next round. So the guy I'm going to go with, again, I'm going to go a little bit safer in PPR, in half-point PPR, and go target the number one target on a prolific offense. I'm going to take Amari Cooper. I love him.
Yeah.
He paid a lot. Dak is back. CD is going to take a lot of the pressure off on the outside. Then you have Michael Gallup. You have Ezekiel Elliott. They just have a crazy amount of weapons.
But
he is the target monster.
After Amari Cooper, we had Kareem Hunt go. Lamar Jackson went at 4-8. And then Kyle Pitts. I am disgusted with Kyle Pitts' ADP. I can't be alone, right?
I was just talking about this on the other podcast. I can't get behind it. You have Hockenson. You have Andrews. Both of them
right.
fall into key growth metrics to where they could explode.
But
those guys could be break into that other tier, and they have years to prove it. Like Kelce, Hockenson, Gronkowski, all these guys were great, but they were not great year one. And Pitts is exceptional, but he has to be otherworldly to be good in year one. And I just don't see it happening.
To be worth his ADP in general, he's got to be insane. Now, I don't want to be the guy, same thing that I was talking about with Derrick Henry. I don't want to pump the brakes on the guy. You know, that's not kind of how I want to do this. I do want to say that Kyle Pitts could be the greatest tight end of all time. Very well.
Yeah.
Is that
likely? He has the tools to be that.
No. It's not likely just because, I mean, who's going to call that shot? Nobody. Now, he is not built like
fantasy Twitter.
Built like a wide
receiver. Fantasy Twitter is going to call that
Twitter
shot.
Fantasy Twitter loves him. And he is a physical specimen. He is a phenomenal athlete.
Yeah.
If they only use him as a wide receiver, then, I mean, he might have the best rookie tight end season ever. He might have the best tight end season ever. But I just can't, in my brain, wrap myself around that idea, you know?
Okay.
Okay. So I'm now on the clock here. Again, I have to decide if I'm still committing. I only have the one running back, and I've got Justin Jefferson and Allen Robinson as my wide receivers. I'm not going to go for a quarterback yet. The only quarterback I even would have considered at 410 would have been Lamar, and that's a reach for me. I don't think I would have done it even if he would have still been here.
Yeah.
Wide receivers that I really like here. There are a couple that I like, and I think one might fall back to me. So I'm going to look at my my running backs here and see if there's anyone worth snagging. And really, I'm not very happy with any of the running backs.
No.
So unfortunately, I might have to – I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab DJ Moore, and I'm going to hope that I can get – okay, well – I was kind of hoping James Robinson would fall back in the fifth. Yeah, that's what I wanted. I risked it, and it hurt me. So I took DJ Moore. Mark Andrews went. Robert Woods, James Robinson, Adam Thielen, and now it's the fifth round, and I have to decide if I want a possibly elite quarterback or if I want Tyler Lockett. If I would have taken James Robinson at four, I think I would have reached for Lockett here at five. But I already have three wide receivers. I think I'm going to look quarterback here. I want somebody elite in that spot. I lied to everyone here. I'm going to take Tyler Lockett.
Oh, you
turd. I decided against it.
You turd. Oh, I love stacking Cooper and Lockett.
The inconsistency.
I was literally going to play the ADP game, and the two guys that I had circled that I was hoping would fall to me, Moore and Lockett. So.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, so I went with Cooper because he actually had the highest ADP. And don't get me wrong, I'm high. You know, I'm using tier-based drafting. So I have a group of guys. But I was like, oh, man, for a two, getting one of those guys would be incredible. And then the guys around him that I wanted, Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp were the other guys around that I wanted. This is the most bare I have seen my draft board coming into the fifth.
This has actually been it's weird for mock drafts as far as they go. This has been oddly competitive, even though it's, you know, it's AI we're drafting against. Even though there's been a lot of reaches for quarterback, you'd think like I'd be a little happier with what I had falling to me.
Yeah. Now the running backs really hurt.
Now here's the thing: at 5'7", TJ Hockenson is still available. You already have Kelsey. But there's no way Hockenson makes it through the fifth round. But that would have been a very interesting.
It would have. Win. I would have smashed that in PPR had I gotten a running back, gone triple running back to start with instead or something like that. Yeah, I would have taken the chance. So I'm actually going to. I'm not in love with the wide receivers here. I actually have a pretty big break between that group, so I'm gonna go get one of the running backs, bolster the room, hurt Andy. Because he hurt me.
That is what it's going to do.
I'm going to go get Chase Edmonds because in PPR, he's an exceptional athlete. He's not going to get the high volume, but he's pass catcher. He's not going to get used down in the goal line, but he doesn't need those goal line touches to be effective. The other guy I was considering was Miles Gaskin. I just like the Edmonds a little bit more just because Connor hasn't looked as good during the preseason, right. And Ahmed and Brown have been more involved, so I like Edmonds' floor just a little bit more.
I'm a little bit of the opposite. I like Gaskin because I think he's got the talent. I really do think that the only thing that concerns me with the Dolphins in general is that they're the Dolphins, so like I think that he can be a workhorse back. I just don't know if I trust them to ever put him in that position.
Fair enough. After that went Javonte Williams, Jamar Chase, TJ Hockenson, Kenny Galladay, Michael Thomas, Russell Wilson, Odell Beckham Jr., who I was really hoping would fall back to me.
Again, Brandon, I know this is against AI, but team 12.
This is frustrating.
Team 12 is bothering me. How do you take Michael Thomas before you take your first running back?
Yeah,
I mean, they're really hammering zero RB.
I mean, you have four wide receivers, so, you know, you don't
But I at least have Alvin Kamara.
Yeah. All right, so in my next tier group, there's only one guy left. There's only one. I mean, this has been so cleaned over. I've never seen this. There is another guy. I don't need another running back. There isn't a guy that I would have circled. But I will hopefully see him come back. If he does, I will talk about him. But I'm actually going to go with the home run hitter to compare. Go with the volume guy. Second-year superstar, Chase Claypool, who is DK
like that.
Metcalf. That's his physical comp.
Dak Prescott, Cortland Sutton, T. Higgins. Those are the next. And I am now on the clock. And I need a running back. and I am disappointed everywhere I look. So I think that the only viable running back that I can take, at least at this point in time while I'm drafting, I'm going to look at value here. Like, at the tight ends available, Noah Fant is available. I think that he could be a very, very good at his current ADP. I think Noah Fant is a value, but I'm hurting so badly for running back. I have to grab Gus Edwards.
See, and he was one of the two guys, and there goes the other one.
I wanted Brady so bad on the comeback. He's been going around here. Justin Herbert, I also think, is an incredible value at his current ADP for quarterback. I think he definitely has a chance to repeat what he did last season. But again, now I'm in a pickle because I want to wait on quarterback because I can be very happy with what goes next. And I desperately need running backs. And I think if I'm going to have to pick another running back, oh man. I guess I got to draft Trey Sermon.
Wow.
I have to.
Wow.
And I'll tell you why I have to. Oh wow, Stafford went. The reason I have to is because you have to have a viable backup. It's really hard to stream running backs. You can stream quarterbacks, you can stream tight end. I'm not going to have to stream wide receiver. Like, based on my current, like, lineup, I'm very happy with it. I'm now to the point where I will reach for running backs who I think have potential and who could hit the shot. Because if I don't, I'm going to be very upset at the end of the draft.
Yeah, I'm going to...
But I've put myself in that position by doing the strategy that I'm attempting, right?
So I'm going to go more for depth. I think the guy who cemented himself as the de facto one... I'm having second thoughts. I'm afraid. I'm afraid in a mock draft. No, I'm gonna go smash this. Damien Harris, I believe he's the lead back. Now Ramondre Stevenson has made a lot of noise. Michelle's out of there. Damien Harris has been extremely effective behind that O-line. I'll still take that guy as my fourth running back and hope that a couple of guys get back to me. After Harris went, Fournette, Samuel, DJ Chark, Zach Moss, Juju, Tonyan, Anderson, who was one of the guys that I was hoping.
Later round guy, Carter, definitely worth.
Carter Cooks, another one that I was hoping
been looking at Cooks all season as, like, he's a potentially one of the best values in general, like, just because of where he's going. But as time goes on, I don't know if that's true anymore. Like, that team, I think, is going to be – I don't know. That team could be better than people expect, and it would still be terrible. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There are – There are two guys here that I would go after, and I think I'm going to try and play a little bit of the ADP game and – Wait. I'm going to take Devontae Smith.
Halfway PPR. I like that, the home run hit.
I think he's going to get blasted with targets. The fact that Jaylen Waddle went right after him makes me so mad because I am high on Jaylen Waddle being they are building the offense around him. And I was hoping that he would sit and be there. It's the same thing with Devontae Smith, you know. And, you know, you don't have to pay the same price tag as Ja'Marr Chase in the fifth. And don't get me wrong, I love Ja'Marr Chase. But these guys are the guys.
Right. Okay, so again, I'm in a tough spot. I need running back depth. I'm looking at the wide receivers available. There are guys that I like, but because of what I've done earlier, I have to reach for running backs here. At value, I also need a tight end. But as you can see on the draft board, team two and team one both have tight ends. The odds that I'm going to play the ADP game, the odds that they are going to draft a second tight end before I get back to me on the turn is pretty low. So I feel comfortable waiting and trying to get some more value. I am going to grab AJ Dillon, the RB2 for the Packers. I think that he's talented. And See, look at that. Check that out. Team 2 took a defense.
Although
they did take Landry, then Connor, then Chenault. Chenault, I think, is great value here. But now I get to take my tight end, which is going to be Tyler Higbee.
Okay. And then a run of tight ends and the quarterback that I was really hoping might fall back to me.
Yeah.
Really, really was kind of sitting there thinking that would be valuable.
Yeah, Tannehill has been creeping up slowly over the last 2 weeks. Yeah. He was going in 12 teams. He was going in the 11th for a while, which was insane. I don't know what happened to cause the correction, but he's earned the correction. So, yeah. I mean.
Yeah. People have gotten smarter, and it's frustrating. So there's two guys that I would want to potentially fall back to me at the wide receiver position. So I'm going to take that chance of them falling back to me. And I'm going to go I'm going to go down a route. Oof, that's tough. Yeah, I'm going to. One of the best game-winning, league-winning strategies is actually to stack.
Sure.
And so I'm going to stack a wide receiver and quarterback.
Oh, no. Combo, and no. I'm going to go. No!
A pick so good it hurts.
That was my target for... I was really hoping he'd come back to me because I still need a quarterback. Now, but what you've done is made my decision easy. There are guys... Everyone's got a QB now except for me. I can punt it now a little bit further.
Yeah, and that's really the why I was considering it. But a guy who ran that many... He averaged 11 rushing attempts a game. I mean, rushing quarterbacks are the Konami code. I realize people don't believe in him. Every report coming out of there is that they believe that locker room has bought into him more than they ever bought into Wentz.
He was great in college. He has a good sense about him. He is a good athlete. He could run all over the place. If they can actually build it around him to keep him safe and protected, I don't see a reason why he can't be a top. I have him as a top 12 quarterback this year.
Yeah, I do too. I have him as I think 8.
So after you picked Hurts, David Johnson went, then Gronk, Gesicki, Singletary, Kenyon Drake, Pollard, Will Fuller.
And then my heart got broken. 4 picks Pittman. In a row. Holy crap.
All the Will Fuller, Curtis Samuel, Pittman, and Davis. All those guys are phenomenal where they are in ADP. They're all going to be target monsters. Except for maybe the exception of Curtis Samuel. He's going to be the third target probably on his team. But he's still, very efficient.
Yeah. In looking through this, the game winners come from... You get the running backs you need. And from that, I'm going to grab a guy that I believe in probably more than the consensus... But looking at all these other guys, I'm not super high on their abilities to be the one. So I am actually going to grab Sony Michel right here.
Okay.
I think he's the goal line back. I think I can start him in a pinch, and that offense is going to be fantastic. Mike Williams, who I was considering, goes. Hollywood Brown, Trevor Lawrence. For the second quarterback for a team in a non-super flex in the top 10.
Man, when Tannehill went, that was also the second quarterback for that team, and I was so upset.
Oh, my gosh. I know, right? I thought my math wasn't off.
Nope. They decided to stack up. Okay. So, again, I'm swinging for fences here. There are a lot of guys who have QBs. There are guys that I can plug and play with my last pick for QB if I absolutely have to. I need running back value. I desperately need it. I am okay doing this, especially with what is coming out of camp and preseason. I'm going to take Jamal Williams because I think there's a chance that Swift does not even play week one, and they don't have another running back. So, yeah. And then I also think I'm going to take the RB1 for Houston Texans. I'm going to take Philip Lindsay.
Yeah. And that was the other one that I was considering, hoping they would come back. You know, we've seen a whole bunch of defenses and a kicker go in an injured Irv Smith. Play the wait and see on Irv Smith, though it is the backup to George Kittle. So again,
exactly. So not the end of the world. I mean, you're in the 11th round here. If you want to be taking safety nets, I suppose you can. It depends on the composition of your team.
Yeah, this gets interesting.
Now, there's a couple guys who I kind of still hope fall back to me. It will be very surprising if they do, though.
I'm gonna address the wide receiver again, and I think this is the highest guy remaining on my board. Just do a quick run through.
I think yeah. I believe I know who you are taking here.
Yeah? Who is it? So,
are you going to take Michael Gallup?
I am not going to take Michael Gallup.
Really? He is the highest guy on my board left, but I thought it might be weird for you because you already have Amari Cooper.
Right? See, and I'm okay with that because actually Michael Gallup has fantasy relevant weeks. And if one of those guys goes down, CeeDee or Amari, he is going to be in a phenomenal play.
Michael Gallup could be a wide receiver one on some teams. He really
yeah,
could.
And he's the wide receiver three.
If you were on the Ravens.
Oh, my gosh. He'd be gangbusters. Right. But I'm going to go with a guy who is just always underappreciated and is going to be the X for his team. I'm going to go with Marvin Jones.
Yeah, I like that. And then Gallup went. I'm upset by that.
Yeah. Gallup, Tucker, Hardman, Murray. Niners, Ruggs, Bills, Trey Lance, which was interesting for me because I thought about it'll depend on when Justin Fields go, but I was actually going to look to do the stack. So Hurts, just in case if he doesn't hit and they don't do well at the start of the season, let one of the rookie quarterbacks sit on my bench, one of the two rushing rookie quarterbacks sit on my bench and potentially hit that high upside going down the stretch. Let's see.
Is that still what you're thinking?
There's potential for that. Okay, let's get into... Is he off the board? He just went. I was looking at Naeem Hines. In PPR, I'm very
comfortable
taking
him. Full PPR
for
sure. Half PPR, I mean, I'd still look his way, but...
As my running back... Six, yeah, I could live with that. So then now it's about the people that get forgotten. Let's go here. Let's see if we can find one of these guys. Has Tyler Boyd been taken? Did he go? Yeah. He went significantly.
Yeah, he went.
There
are still wide receivers who I think I'd be very comfortable taking at this point. Especially in the 12th. Again, running backs are very scarce. If there's a guy that you want to take a shot on, but...
Yeah, I've seen the offense. I've seen what they're planning on doing. And half PPR, full PPR, this guy's a monster. He's actually serviceable and regular, but he's somebody that I know is going to get targeted a lot. And I can plug and play him at any given point. He's not going to... win me a league, but he's going to help me. I'm torn now. I saw another guy that I didn't realize was still there.
Well, let's talk it through. Who are you trying to decide through?
Hey, Cole Beasley, Mr. Unvaccinated himself, and Nelson Aguilar.
Oh, see, okay.
And Mac Jones has looked so good.
He has, and Nelson Aguilar is, they paid him to be the one.
Yep.
At the very least, he is the 1A, 1B to, like, one of those tight ends.
Yeah, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm going to switch it. I'm going to go Nelson Aguilar.
I think I would,
too. Home run hitter.
I'm not going to be drafting with based on this information, usually. The fact that Cole Beasley is unvaccinated does play into my draft strategy a little bit when it comes to him. Not because he's unvaccinated, but because he has been fined for not following protocol. That's important.
And it can lead to suspensions.
Exactly. I'm not drafting guys who are going to be actively putting themselves on the chopping block. Almost no matter how good they are, because I'm not going to be wasting my draft pick, you know? So I'm on the clock. So after you picked Aguilar, Russell Gage went, who was definitely a target for me. Hunter Henry, another kicker went, and now I'm on the clock. And I still need a quarterback. And I have a lot of guys who I could choose from here that I'd be very happy with. I am going to go ahead and draft myself Matt Ryan here at the 12.
Yeah, that's a great pick. The lowest he's finished is QB 15. Dang it! Dang it!
And then you played the ADP game hoping Justin Fields would come back. He didn't. It's my turn again. And now I have to make another call. I think I'm chasing value at this point. Even though, I mean, there aren't any running backs, really, that I am. I mean, I could grab guys. There is a strategy. Like, if you grab Chuba Hubbard to sit behind Christian McCaffrey, I think that he would be very similar to Mike Davis if Christian McCaffrey were to go down. But if he doesn't go down, I don't think he's going to be worth my, like, in, like, my roster spot. So you have to make the call if that's something you're willing to hold for most of the year, because you're going to draft him, and if you go 6 weeks, 8 weeks of Christian McCaffrey doing Christian McCaffrey things, you're going to just drop him, you know. J.D. McKissic, we talked about him earlier. He won't be incredibly involved, but he is a great pass catcher. I don't think there are any of these guys who I'm really like, I have to take these guys. So I am going to look toward wide receiver, and I am going to grab a guy who I like, Terrace Marshall. Mm. Rookie wide receiver has looked really clean for Carolina. Parker next. Chuba does go after that. Sanders, and now Adam is back on the clock.
So I'm actually going to switch up my strategy just a little bit. Normally, I am always kicker defense last. I think that I can. There are a couple guys out there that I can take with my last pick in the 15th round and feel very comfortable. So I'm actually going to go get a defense that I believe that I can start and for a couple of weeks, because they start off facing the Giants, the Jags, and the Jets. And I'm going to take the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I like that.
It's not one of the elite defenses, but I can stream them for 3 weeks before they play Baltimore and be very happy with that. Cole Beasley, I hoped he might be one of the guys that comes all the way back to me. But again, there are a couple guys I'm willing to take later. I'm going to look actually through them to potentially avoid the kicker. I am going to, normally I don't do this, man. It's tough for me.
What are you deciding here?
I think that I'm going to take someone who is potentially not the handcuff. He's been a stud this preseason, the preseason MVP. I'm going to take Ramondre Stevenson. Okay. I already have Damian Harris. And depending on, over time how they get used, I think Mac Jones is going to be the starter. I think Harris is going to get use and be useful, but Stevenson has looked good. So hedging my bet on that one just because of how good he's looked in the preseason, and then I can take whatever kicker is left there.
I am now looking at a defense myself, and because their schedule, I think, is also kind of nice, their initial game one against the Rams is worrisome, but then they play Cincinnati, then they could play Cleveland, Detroit, Vegas. I'm going to take the Bears. And Jared Cook. Okay, so then Randall Moore, T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. Hilton, have you heard what's going on with camp with him? Like, he is apparently... He got injured, and they decided to disclose it as an injury that will not end his season. Like, that's so not good.
Yeah, he has what appears to be some sort of vertebrae issue up in his neck around the shoulder area. Like, think who is the wide receiver who needed it? Like, Clemson guy.
I do not recall.
Just recently. If it's that, it's not good. Like, the end of T.Y. Hilton. Normally I'd be like,
yeah,
oh, I love this guy. But, you know, now it comes around.
Yeah, beginning of the end. So, Hilton, then Jalen Rager, Jared Cook, and now I'm going to take a kicker. I'm going to take Greg Zuerlein.
Okay. Yeah, high-scoring offense. Good kicker to have.
I mean, kickers are kind of dime a dozen. You could kind of pick and play whichever one you want. I mean, there are some that you play matchups better, but it's really hard to predict who's going to have a better. I mean, like, the best predictor is just who's going to score more, because then you can kind of guarantee PATs as, like, at least guaranteed point, quote-unquote,
yep,
guaranteed points.
Yeah, I'm going to take the kicker who might have the most cupcake, lopsided matchup in week one. I'm going to take Robbie Gould. They are playing the Detroit Lions, and they're going to score.
So bad.
They're going to score 70 points. Just Niners by themselves. Oh, wow.
Deshaun Watson is the last pick of the draft. Oh. And, I mean, like, if you have Kyler Murray and you're, like, you're going to take a shot, I mean, like.
No.
I don't think that that's what you want to do, because, like,
that would be like, something that you could do. You took Matt Ryan, and you're like, I'm going to take a shot
right,
on Deshaun
exactly.
Watson. Holy crap.
Exactly. But that's, they're, like, when you look, because Team 12 is, I don't think it looks very good. But,
oh, they would get killed.
But
they
let's run through our teams really quick. My running backs are Alvin Kamara, Gus Edwards, Trey Sermon, A.J. Dillon, Jamal Williams, and then Phillip Lindsay. My receivers are Jefferson, Robinson, DJ Moore, Tyler Lockett, and Terrace Marshall. My tight end is Tyler Higbee. And then my quarterback is Matt Ryan.
So I have Travis Kelce as my tight end. I have Jalen Hurts as my quarterback, both who I think are, you know, one is the de facto one. One has potential for top three at their position. And so I'm very happy with that. Then I have Najee Harris, David Montgomery, Chase Claypool, Damian Harris, Sony Michel, and Ramondre Stevenson. I have all of the Patriots running backs.
Yeah, you do.
From this preseason. And I'm okay with that, because I think they're all in situations to succeed. My wide receivers, Amari Cooper, Chase Claypool, Devontae Smith, Marvin Jones, Nelson Aguilar. So my first guy, absolutely a stud, volume-wise, and then searching for a couple guys with upside to pair with that,
right,
on any given week.
But that's kind of our show. You guys will end up being the judges. I'm gonna take screenshots here of our teams, and we'll post them on Twitter. You guys can go ahead and vote on who you think had the better draft, what draft you would rather have, and which team that you would not want to be. And we already know it's Team 12. But I think that's everything. You got anything else you want to add for the people?
Yeah, don't be Team 12. Don't be potentially don't be Team 2 either.
Right.
Team 2 and Team 9. Team 10.
And
Team 10. Oh, Team 10 is awful. Holy crap.
and I want to say that, like, you know, we both kind of did some things that we don't typically do. You took Kelce at 7. I ran a single running back strategy for – this is the first time I've done it, actually, this offseason in a mock. I really didn't love it. I'm a very strong believer in going triple running back into wide receiver depth. That's typically how I do it. It's very rare that I don't do that. And this just goes to show why I think you should do that. But anyway, this is Fantasy Fight Night. You guys can check us out every single week. We'll be out every Tuesday until the end of our lives. So I'm committing you for life.
Oh, jeez. I have to have that conversation with my wife first.
But, yeah, we will see you guys next week.
Okay. All right.